These were sermons and books to the people in his community who were part of his church, who he wanted to encourage. So he wouldn't have done that if he was in prison and in solitary confinement, or, you know, being able to read the scriptures and encourage the Christians outside of prison. So his life can be summarized by this. He had an undivided devotion to Christ, and he refused to accept the fact that he couldn't preach in the community, and at what cost? It cost him 12 years of being away from his family. He had his first wife, he had four children, and the first one was born blind. And shortly before prison, before he was put in prison, his wife died and he married again, and his wife was expecting, and she actually miscarried. And so it says that it was almost like pulling a skin away from him, the fact that he had to go to prison and not support his new wife and these four children from his first wife. So he suffered greatly personally, and as well his family suffered. So he had an undivided devotion to Christ and his cause, and at great cost, because he was in prison for 12 years. So what's that word devotion mean? What does devotion mean? It means that you have a single-minded loyalty to something, or you have a love or an intense enthusiasm for someone or something. In John Bunyan's case, he had this loyalty to Christ, this single-minded devotion to Christ, which cost him 12 years in prison. So what is persecution? So we're getting you to remember those Christians around the world who are suffering for the sake of Christ. Persecution is simply this, is someone pursuing or pressing upon someone to harm them because of their faith or belief in something. So you can be persecuted for other things besides believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but Christian persecution is when someone holds fast, has this undivided devotion to Christ, so much so that it causes the people around them to see them that they're different, and they cause harm in that person because they're different. So there's certain types of persecution that people experience. One is physical. There's also social persecution, that is ostracizing someone or excommunicating someone from either a family or a group that you belong to. And we know that happens too around the world, that families are rejecting their own children because of their faith in Christ. There could also be this intense spiritual or mental persecution, almost like a brainwashing too, that people go through. And so this is all called Christian persecution for their faith and belief in God and in Christ. So if we live as God wants us to live, we should expect persecution. And we shouldn't be surprised that if we are going to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, the key is godly life in Christ Jesus, united with Christ and his principles and his causes, the Bible says that we will be persecuted. So what does Jesus have to say about persecution? Well, when he was sending his disciples out, you know, he said, you will be sheep going out amongst wolves. He said, you will expect persecution. And he warned them that persecution is coming. And he says, and this is the man of sorrows, the one who is acquainted with grief. He was persecuted intensely himself, and he was actually persecuted so much so that he went to the cross and died. So this is what Jesus said to his disciples. He says, you will be hated by everyone because of me. And Jesus said again to his disciples, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And he says, you're not of this world. And because you're not of this world, the worldly people, those who are evildoers, will persecute you because you're different. So a few weeks ago, we went through Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. There were eight Beatitudes that Jesus was talking about. And those are the norms or how Christians should conduct themselves in this life. You know, these inner characteristics that would characterize a Christian. And the last one, Jesus said, and this is number 8, he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then he goes on to interpret that by speaking directly to the disciples and those in the crowd. He says, and he interprets that verse for them. He says, "And blessed are you, Peter, or blessed are you, John, when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." And he says these words, "Rejoice and be glad. Be glad in your suffering. Be glad in the harm that you're receiving, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets in the past who were before you." So Jesus is saying, you know, if I summarize those Beatitudes there, he's saying, if you empty yourself, if you become poor in spirit, if you mourn for your sin, if you are meek, and then you fill yourself with righteousness, and you actually are showing or being merciful to people, being pure in heart, and if you are truly being a peacemaker, you will be different in society. And as a result, Jesus said, you will be persecuted, as the last beatitude there. So you'll notice that glad suffering, that, as John Piper says, glad agony. How can someone who is being hurt physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally rejoice and be glad? Well, Jesus gives a clue to why someone should be joyful in suffering. He says, because our reward is not on earth, but in a heavenly city. You know, this world is not our paradise. We're expecting a city, going to a city that belongs to God, and we will be with him. And so great is your reward, because you're suffering in this life, but this life is not the be-all and end-all. So my second last question is persecution coming to Canada? I would say yes, and some say that it's already here. More and more our nation is becoming ungodly. It's becoming non-Christian or anti-God. You just see it in the papers and in court cases that have happened over the past few decades. Even though our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, well, the fact is that our country is becoming more ungodly and anti-God. And so Ken Ham, he's part of Answers in Genesis, he wrote this article, and he says, "The chasm is widening." And he was talking about America, but I think it's equally appropriate for Canada. "The chasm is widening. Are you on God's side?" And his argument is that the chasm is widening so much that those people who have their feet in the world and on God's side won't be able to do that anymore. We're going to have to make a decision whether we're going to be on God's side because of all the persecution that's coming. And he goes on to say that if those on God's side stand their ground on his word without compromise, and I would add, have undivided devotion to Christ, just like John Bunyan, and undivided devotion to his cause as well, then we will face persecution one day in Canada here. And so are we ready? Increasingly, in America, Orthodox Christians are being called these words, child abusers. They're being called intolerant or judgmental. And so when someone says that, say, a Christian parents are called child abusers, they're saying this is their reason why they call that parent a child abuser, is because they teach their children about creation and about hell. Those are the basic truths in the Bible, and yet they're being called child abusers. So you can see where this would lead. It's leading to Christianity being marginalized, which is pushing Christianity to the outskirts or the fringes of society, where people who are Christians will be unimportant. They won't be listened to. And so if that progression goes ahead, just like it is in many countries of the world, where Christians are marginalized, that leads to alienation, isolation as a community of Christians, and losing of rights, which is happening today, and leads to all kinds of persecution. So my last question for you is, are you committed to the King and his cause, just like John Bunyan was? Do you have that undivided devotion, or are there things that you're devoting yourself to, spending other energies in other pursuits that may not be for the sake of Christ and for Christ's cause? So I pray that yours, as is mine, will be an undivided devotion to Christ, and that we do serve, we've been talking about that we're in this kingdom, we do serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and so we may we strive, as others who have gone before us, to be faithful to the cause of Christ and be devoted to Him. So with that, I'll just close in prayer, and we're just going to pray for those around the world who are persecuted as well. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the freedom to meet like this at this time in Canada, but we know a day is coming, Father, when we will have to take a stand and be more bold and confident in our stand for you. I pray for all those Christians, those brothers and sisters who are being persecuted on this day or in their life right now. As Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross, he said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Pray for all those, Father, who are being persecuted for the sake of your name and for Christ's name, that you would give them peace and give them joy as well. As Jesus said, that they may rejoice because their salvation will come one day when they're in heaven with you. So I pray for us, Father, as a body of believers, that we would stand our ground, that we would have an undivided devotion to Christ and his cause, and like John Bunyan did, have to make that decision one day whether we're going to obey the authorities or suffer persecution and other costs in this life. So give us courage, Father, and boldness as we are witnesses for you in North Bay here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.